Ben N. Tierney will be interviewing Liam Horan next here on CRCFM.
Thanks, PJ. Yes, indeed. And good afternoon and welcome back to Tesco here in Ballinrobe. Now, Liam joins me here. Liam Horan, of course, is a name that's very familiar to people of Ballinrobe, of course, but not only to people of Ballinrobe, because quite a long list, I suppose, but to go through some of the things that Liam Horan is best known for. Qualified guidance counsellor, a careers columnist with the journal.ie, 12 regional Irish newspapers, and regular contributor to careers discussions on regional and national radios in Ireland. Media and interview trainer, award-winning journalist and broadcaster, internationally certified user of Thomas International's personal profile analysis and its related instruments. Now we're getting into the heavy stuff. Liam Horan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Ben.
And I noticed, Liam, that... tell me, how long were you with the... You were with the Irish Independent, were you?
I was with the Irish Independent as Gaelic Games correspondent from 1995 to 2000. I was 5 years there. Prior to that, I was with the Western People and Midwest Radio part-time as well for 3 years.
Yeah, I remember working with you back there, and you were working in sport at the time.
Yeah, and Jim Carney and myself.
Actually, now, you can take the credit for bringing many young people that are now well-known names in this in the world of sport journalism into the game.
And they're not so young anymore, indeed.
I didn't like to say it.
Mike Finnerty would have started, he would have broadcast at 14 years of age on Midwest Radio first, in fact, and... He's now leading TV3 sports commentator and sports editor of the Mayo News and Midwest Radio commentator as well. Daniel Carey would have come through that system. Jonathan Mullen and some others as well started out quite young and all doing very well. Jonathan went on to be the Gaelic Games correspondent of RTE News and is now the editor of the Irish Racing Post, the first editor of the Irish Racing, first edition of the Irish Racing Post.
It's amazing because I remember those lads in and they used to be in with you on the Sunday and they used to give you hell.
There wasn't much respect for age then or now, but they were great. I mean, you know, I always kind of feel that if you get young people and give them a bit of, you know, let them do their own thing. I mean, I remember one particular day.
Ah, yeah, but now, in fairness to you, Liam, and we're going to talk about exactly this now in a few moments' time, you didn't really let them do their own thing. They thought they were doing their own thing, but you guided them.
Yes, you have to guide them, but you must give them the freedom to do things as well within that.
Yeah,
and I remember one particular day, we decided to start a Saturday evening sports roundup at 4:45, and the very first day we were to do it, Jim Carney cried off, and I had to go to Castlebar, to McHale Park, to see Castlebar against Clonagale, the Connacht Club Championship, and it ended up that Mike Finnerty at 15 years of age had to present that programme live. And it was the first time we'd done the programme, and you know what live programming is like.
Yeah.
Everything was new about the programme.
Yeah.
The presenter was new and new to radio as well in terms of being a live broadcaster, and he carried it off brilliantly. And I remember thinking to myself that was quite a precocious bit of work, but the point he's going to make is that young people, sometimes we don't let them, you know, it's a bit of structure, unstructure, kind of give them a bit of rope and let them off, but don't hold them back too much either and let them go and do their thing. And there's great talent when you let them do that, but sometimes we're the ones that are the problem as adults who don't give them that kind of freedom to go and express themselves.
It's amazing though that so many came in, and I think in fairness that was the packages of the young fellas at the time, as they were at the time, that came in with you to Midwest Radio at the time on your sports programme, and every one of them have done so well. It's amazing.
Yeah, there was an exceptional bunch there. Yeah, and there were others as well, and they were an exceptional bunch, I will say that. And but I think they, you know, they were very committed to learn. They really wanted to learn. I mean, you remember, it was a bit of a pantomime at the time because they were running around the place and they were giving out to me and I'd be giving out to them and all, like, there was all sorts of crack going on. But they were, even at that stage, very good friends of mine and remained very good friends of mine.
And in fairness, all nice lads.
Great fellas,
fellas.
Right, even despite all his success, Mike Finnerty's still a nice fellow.
and long may that last. He is actually a very nice fellow. Liam, you know, when did you then decide... you know, I could help people make careers for themselves, because you did it there without...
Yeah.
You weren't in this business at the time. Slea knew our careers. You have a company now that does exactly that.
Yeah, I would have always had an interest in mentoring people, and that would have developed then. And I suppose I would have benefited from my own father being a mentor to me when I was starting out in journalism at a very, very young age. I had my first piece published in a newspaper at 11 years of age.
Wow.
And later on, Tom Carell, God be good to him, and Tom Gillespie and some of the kind of Telegraph lads, Tom Kelly, would have mentored me in my teen years, we'll say. It's something I always get great enjoyment out of. And over the years, I would have done a lot for friends in terms of some of those guys there. Even if they're going for job interviews, they'd come to me for kind of a session, which was very off the cuff at the time, but I always had an interest in it. And in the last few years, I went back to college and studied it in Inuai Maynooth and set up the business I now have. And I suppose what qualified me to set up that business? I suppose mainly I have a background in communications industry, and I've also been on both sides of the table, obviously interviewing to get a job, but also in terms of being editor of newspapers or sports editor, hiring people and understanding something about the interview dynamic as well. So it probably all came from that, and I must say I really love it, because it's a really good thing to get a chance to help somebody. You see a good candidate who mightn't be able to express themselves as well as they should, and to be able to help them get a job or get the master's place they're looking for or whatever is great. And you know, we don't try and get jobs for people who are not fit to do the job they're going for.
You can advise them where they should be.
Yes, and I would always say to people, don't push so hard to get the job that you're actually under pressure when you get it. So work within your comfort zone or within your skill zone as best you can.
Very important, I think, and that's one good bit of advice for sure. Now, it's like I said, you didn't actually tell me when you set the company up, but it's quite
two years ago.
Yeah. It seems longer.
Yeah, it's a fair bit of mileage covered already.
Yeah, because you started off here in Ballinrobe, I believe, wasn't it?
Well, Headford and Ballinrobe initially, yeah. And we last year moved to Ballinrobe and in the last few months have opened a Galway City office, and just in the last couple of weeks have opened a Dublin City Centre office as well too. We have a lady called Patricia Maloney who people might remember from, she was the woman who set up Park College, Repeat School in Galway some 20 years ago, and she's a huge background in education. And Elizabeth Hutchison, who's a writer based in Dublin. She's written a TV series that's currently, or hopefully, about to get made very soon. Mm-hmm. And she's based in Dublin. She's a very accomplished career person as well. So it's going quite well. I mean, you have to work hard in this business to, we hope, do a good job for customers. Every customer needs individual service. It's not like a shelf product you can just give them. So
it's very tailored.
It is very tailored, yeah. So when people leave us, they should feel that what they're getting from us is unique to them, and that's what we try to achieve.
We'll come back to Slieno Careers in a moment, Sliam, but talk to me about Ballinrobe, about this area, about the west of Ireland in general, and what's the future for, I mean, you're advising people on their careers. Are there careers out there, or where is it headed?
Well, just checking Ballinrobe specifically, one of the things that Ballinrobe has going for it is that it's quite, it is within commuting distance of Galway, Westport, Tuam, Castlebar, and even Claremorris, which is a reasonable amount of employment. And even some people from here would commute to Athlone, for example.
Really?
It's about an hour, 20 minutes to Athlone, and the new road through Galway can help, although traffic in the morning can be a problem there. So in that regard, it is within striking distance of quite a few places. Locally, I mean, there are still good employers locally, but, you know, it's not an area of huge employment. You know, you look around at the football club or the rugby club or the soccer club, they're losing some players at the moment because people are going away.
It's the story of the country, isn't it?
There's been a bit of an exodus of late. But, you know, what I say to people is that, you know, we have, an unemployment rate of 14% at the moment, but that means we have an employment rate of 86%. And there is still quite a bit going on, you know. There's still quite a bit of, you know, there's quite a bit of activity still. I think people are very susceptible to the message they get that, oh, things are terrible. You know, and all anybody needs is one job. And that's all they need to try and focus and get. And it's great to see people who set about doing that and getting that. And generally, I would say, even still, real determination does succeed. And one of the things I'm working on at the moment, and I've done some talks on with local groups here, and I hope to write some stuff out very soon, is how people job search. Are they doing all the things they can do?
So give us a run, you know, well, briefly.
For example, give us a run through
what they should do.
Are people going to jobs clubs every day? Or even once a week?
What do you mean by a jobs club?
Where a group of people who are looking for work or hoping to start a business, perhaps, get together, discuss what they're at, motivate each other, give each other leads, check back how they're getting on, check back their progress. And some of the stuff I'm reading, particularly coming from America, suggests that jobs clubs should meet every day. And the point being that if you're available to work from 9 to 5, for example, next week, what are you doing today from 9 to 5? So, you know, the sense that you should be devoting as much time as you possibly can to your job search. There are online job searching, there are recruitment agencies, there are notices in places like Tesco here today, there are local radios, local newspapers, national newspapers. And most talks that I do now with groups, I ask one simple question: where did you get your last job? And almost invariably, that people will tell you they got their last job by word of mouth. That's a huge network.
So they were recommended, or they heard about it?
A friend of mine was working there, said, yeah, there's a thing going here, put a word in for you, and in you come, right? So this is, some of the studies in America show that about 55% of jobs are never advertised, okay? And yet people, I feel, don't do enough to actually get in towards those jobs. So how do you find out? how you should tell your friends, tell your professional and personal network that you're available for work, the work you're available for, where you'll travel to, and that's how jobs get filled. You know, somebody hears that such and such a guy is looking for a bit of work, or I might be able to fix him up. So rather than just being a random thing, you should be pushing your information out to your professional network, your personal network, telling people you're available for work. Another one that's proven very successful is to actually go to a door, knock on a door and say to an employer, I feel I can do a good job for you. Here's my CV. I've got the following skills. If you're ever hiring, give me a shout. Apart from retail outlets like hotels and shops and places like that, very few people go to the architect working upstairs in a business park saying that. And I know that myself, working in a kind of a similar environment.
It's very believable, yes.
No one comes there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and everybody goes to the local hotel, so they get 100 CVs, and the architect who might be looking for somebody for a bit of holiday relief for 2 months in the summer gets nobody and has to go looking when they need to get somebody.
In your business, Liam, in Slinua Careers, do you have then like a database of companies that maybe you're in touch with and that you know what's going on out there?
Yeah, informally, but we're very careful to stay away from that because, you know, we prepare candidates to go to these companies.
Sure.
We can't really be on both sides of the fence, but companies would contact us reasonably regularly saying, do you have anybody who might do a job as secretary? And we have put people together, but we don't do it as a commercial thing, and we don't do it formally because it would create an expectation among our candidates.
Now, I know one of the things you do, Liam, and I know you do it over Skype as well, is you will do mock interviews.
Yes.
Do people take those, do they take them serious?
Yes, people are taking everything about job searching seriously now. That's the reality, I suppose. People who put themselves in the way of doing interview training or mock interviews will focus in quite a bit beforehand. We give them certain forms to fill out to prepare themselves. They'll do all of that now.
But you do it very tailored. Go back to the word tailored again, because I know, for example, if I'm applying for a job in radio, for example, if we're sitting here today, so I'm going to apply for a job in radio. I tell you the type of company I'm applying for, and then you pretend literally to be that company,
totally in character.
So you have to go and research that company.
I'll take the job spec that you have been given or the advertisement. I'll Google some things about attributes of a radio technician, for example, and I put together questions that I will ask you. In the Skype one, we record all our interviews, but we record the Skype one visually as well, so you can see it. But we don't focus much on the visual of people overall, because I believe it's about content. Not about how do I sit or how do I stand.
But tell you that body language is a huge part of it.
It is, but I'm not sure people can influence their own body language as explicitly as that. I think that if you focus on that, you start focusing on stuff you can't find it hard to control. Whereas if you focus on content and getting information across the table, it's a lot easier for people to give the performance.
Okay. Liam, we have to wrap it up there. It's great to meet you again, great to see you again, and even better to see that your company is going from strength to strength. The best of luck with the office in Dublin. I'm sure it'll be as successful as the rest of them. Give us a website where people can find out a little bit more.
slinua@careers.com, or they can phone us on 094-95-42965.
And that's spelled S-L-I-N-U-A careers.com.
And thanks to yourselves, and welcome to Ballon Robe.
Thank you very much, Liam. Liam Horan speaking with us on PJ Walsh on the afternoon.